Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and I am hanging out with you from another glorious point. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will definitely rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be sane right now. This morning was a very, very hectic morning for me, and I have to give big, extra special hugs. Noval, who is my friend LaVon, she is actually hanging out with me today and right next to me today. She is such a trooper. We both live in North Jersey, and I called her early this morning. Well, I sent her a text, and I'm like, I need help. I'm busy, and can you come work with me today? And she was like, Cy, no matter what you want, I got you. It's all good. So I went and scooped her up. But in the meantime, I had invitations to do for a friend of mine. He's having a boxing match on November 19th, and we're going to have all his fighters on the show on Friday. So Friday, for any of you boxing aficionados, definitely tune in. I'm going to send out a press release. It's going to be a good show. But I had to get some stuff taken care of for him. And then, of course, so my friend Erica, who you all know, I watched her two-year-old daughter like in the end of August. She was like, Cy, I got you. And then, of course, LaVon and I started working, and we didn't get internet access. So it was just one of those mornings that I thought I was going to crumble. And you know what? That just speaks to the nature of, you know, friends. And the importance of friends and the importance of people that will come through and the ones that got your back in times of trouble. Just want to say big ups to everybody in the chat room. Yeah, you know what? I just want to say hey to True. What's up, my brother? The High Road dropped the, so now his screen name is just High Road. And it kind of threw me off, too, because when I looked in the chat room, I just saw High Road, but I figure, you know, that's who it was. And if you look at the picture, it's the same person. So that's how I was able to figure out what was going on. I just want to say hey to True. True is definitely a friend to the Life Remix family. He calls in and just gives his opinion. And every time he does, I absolutely love to talk to him. And it's funny because some people I talk to off the air and him, True is one I never really get a chance to, but every time he does call in, just shares so much insight and wisdom. So I just want to say thank you to True for always hanging out with me every day. He said keeping us on top of our game. Yeah. Well, keeping everybody on top of their game. But you know what? That's why they say iron sharpens iron, because we all have to keep each other sharp and keep each other on point. So, well, you know, today is Tuesday, and I'm talking politics today. Oh, wait a minute. My phone is going off. Let me shut off Twitter. You know what? I guess that was just a little reminder to follow me on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/CyBrownMedia. That way you can follow me on Twitter. I send updates. I'm not, you know what? Let me just say something about Twitter real quick. Some people send out, hi, good morning. I'm going to have, I don't send that stuff out. If I send anything out on Twitter, it's definitely something that I think will be of value to people. I think it's going to be something that that can bless your life and help you live as successfully as possible in some area. Also, everybody doesn't have Sprint or Verizon unlimited text messages. I told LaVon I was doing some other stuff in my house, and I had 310 text messages. And I'm like, how is that possible? But it all came from Twitter, where people are just sending out a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah. True said it's a good day to talk about politics. Well, it's always a good day to talk about politics. That's definitely a good thing. Politics, I love. Politics is good, and politics is where my heart really rests. So, yeah, we have some good stuff. Oh, Nahiro says, twitter.com. It's Cy Brown Media, Cybrowne, Media, Media. True says, I don't have unlimited text. Well, then do not. Well, here's the thing with Twitter. Let me just break it down to you. There's two ways. If you follow somebody on Twitter, you can follow them one of two ways. You can follow them where you get an immediate, like if they send out something, it goes directly to your cell phone, or you can just follow them. And then when you log on to your Twitter account, you'll see all of the people you're following. You'll see their updates. I'm following probably about, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I'm following about 1,500 people on Twitter right now. But I only get texts to my cell phone from major people like NPR News, MSNBC. I follow Anderson Cooper from CNN. I follow Rick Sanchez from CNN. I follow Rachel Maddow from MSNBC, excuse me. I follow Don Lemon from CNN. So I personally follow news sites because it gives me the absolute breaking news. Like I know right now what Rick Sanchez is going to talk about on his show at 3 o'clock because he put out on Twitter this morning that he was going into a production meeting, and he always says, oh, you know, what should we talk about? Or we're in a production meeting talking about this for the 3 o'clock show. What do you think? So those are the people that I actually receive updates on my cell phone from. Yeah, definitely AC360. I like Anderson Cooper. He's a little sexy. He's kind of cute. I think they do that on purpose because he's good on the eyes. And I know I'm talking to a room full of guys right now, but I'm sure you guys probably say the same thing about Tamron Hall on MSNBC. She is a very attractive woman, so I'm sure it goes both ways. You know, it's so funny. I was talking with my client last night, and he's producing an event, and he needs women, you know, just to kind of work the event. And I'm saying, are men really that shallow? And he was like, Si? Yeah, they are. So I have to secretly share with everybody who's listening right now, women can be a little shallow as well. We like a little eye candy, especially Anderson Cooper at 10 o'clock at night. But wait a minute, Truth says me too, but because he is sexy, but he is all right. Oh, you're not. Well, I hope you're watching Anderson Cooper from a journalistic perspective and not because he's, you know. Did you know that he's Gloria Vanderbilt's son? Oh, like I'm waiting for you to respond. Duh, like you're really going to respond back to me. Yeah, but he's Gloria Vanderbilt's son, the clothing designer, and I read part of his biography. It's kind of sad that his brother committed suicide. I believe, and don't quote me on this one, I believe he jumped off of a balcony in their house, in their apartment in Manhattan, if I remember correctly. High Road put, women shallow? No. Yeah, we're really shallow. Yeah, we're really shallow, and we can be very pretentious at times. And I remember my husband was giving my son a lesson in women, and he said, if you know, my son said, I'm not buying a girl nothing, not even McDonald's or da-da-da-da. And my husband said, you know what? No matter what, you're going to end up paying. And my son's like, no, I'm not. And then he looks at me and says, did I end up paying? And I'm like, yeah, you did. So that's one of the things. Yeah, he ended up paying, and you know, that's stuff you guys have to do. It's a little bit more than just a meal. I want doors opened and all that good stuff, too, you know. The chivalry. They say chivalry is not dead, right? Right, guys? I want to switch gears a little bit to talk about Veterans Day. I never made a big deal of Veterans Day because, you know, my grandfather was a veteran, but I don't really have a military family. You know, some people that really follow, like are really patriotic, and I don't want to say it makes me any less patriotic, but I'm not really, you know, that just wasn't really a big thing for me. Oh, what did you, wait, hold on. Before I'm switching to Veterans Day, True says he loves Amy Holmes. She's a Republican. She's a Republican. And Questlove from The Roots, he actually, if you do go on Twitter, I'm going to get back to Veterans Day in a minute, but I'm just reading the stuff in the chat room. Questlove from The Roots put on Twitter that it says, I heart the S-H-I-T out of Soledad. So he put that he really is digging Soledad O'Brien. So that's Questlove from The Roots. So True and High Road, you are in good company. And you know what? She's got like 4 kids. I think she's got like an older daughter and then like another daughter and then she's got a bunch of kids. And yeah, she's married. Amy Holmes is a Republican. You know, I'm not a fan of those on the other side of the aisle. But Amy Holmes is a Republican, and I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I heard she only dates older white men. I read it, I think, in like Vanity Fair or something. Somebody was writing a very snarling op-ed about her, which wasn't very nice, but they were, let me be careful. I retract that because I don't think it was Vanity Fair. I cannot recall, and I don't want to get sued. But, Amy Holmes may not like you, True. Or High Road, sorry. Local networks are putting more sisters in the spotlight. Yeah, because we're what real beauty looks like anyway. We don't wrinkle at 25 years old. You know what? We're supposed to be talking about Veterans Day, but I just want to speak to what we're talking about in the chat room. You know what? It's so funny. I came to the realization that the reason why I believe American beauty is gauged by youth and women being real thin is because by the time other races, who are not minorities, get to be in their 20s and 30s, they look wrinkled and worn. And I hope nobody jumps down my throat for saying that. But, you know, I've talked about how my family is, you know, all mixed up. We talked about that. Barack Obama actually called himself a mutt on TV on Monday, or was it Friday at his first press conference. But anyway, if you just look at them, they start to wrinkle at like 25. They get crow's feet around the eyes, and they get, you know, their jowl starts to get loose. And if you look at someone like Joan Rivers, if her face gets any more stretched out, she's in her 70s, but if she gets any more stretched out, she's not going to be able to blink, I don't think. But, you know, I think that's why they highlight them. But if you look at people like Tamron Hall, Soledad O'Brien, Amy Holmes, no, I do not agree with Amy Holmes, but she is very, I think she's very pretty. Who else? Give me some more. Well, see, those are the major ones, major networks. I don't know, like on regular network TV, because we have a lot here in the New York area. We've got Darlene Rodriguez on Channel 4, Sade Veteran Y, I think is her name, on like Channel 7, which is ABC. So there are a lot of sisters in the spotlight. Does that mean they're making room for me, True? Does that mean they're making room for Cy Brown? I'm going to be like Ludacris, throw them bows and just elbow my way in. I know you're at work and probably can't even respond. But, yeah, they're making a little room for Cy Brown. And you know what's funny? Tyra Banks is on the cover of Ebony magazine this month, and they are calling her, like, the next uber big mogul because Oprah Winfrey's supposed to retire in 2011. Now, here's the catch with that. Do you know in 2011 Obama's still going to be in office? So that's a story that's definitely developing because if she's not renewing her syndication deal and she shuts her show down in 2011, I do believe she's taking it over to her own cable network, and the network is going to be called OWN, O-W-N, which stands for the Oprah Winfrey Network. But I just wonder if she's being groomed for some type of something. She's always said she doesn't want to do anything political, you know, but we have to see. You know, I'm not sure. But I just think, you know, look at the timing, and I don't think anything happens by happenstance. I think everything is by design in some way or another. So that's just something to think about. You know, we'll see what happens with that. But now that the chat room has quieted down, I'm going to move on to my topic of politics and what I wanted to talk about today and just Veterans Day. And I would love to hear from you two in the chat room. I wonder where everybody is. This is weird. It's a very quiet chat room today. That's odd. But it's all good. You know, we love you guys. Everybody will tune in soon. But anyway, getting back to Veterans Day, I don't know why veterans don't get the same respect. You know, right now, I remember as a kid, everything shuts down. There's nothing open. I mean, I even remember that for Christmas. But now, I know schools are closed. I believe, does anybody know if banks are closed and if we get mail today? But just think, everybody's going about their business. And, you know, it really makes you wonder about our veterans who served in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and all these other wars and don't have a place to live. They don't have health insurance. They get no respect on the street. You know, you always see these signs like, I'm a veteran, and you know, I'm homeless or something like that. I think that's such a, if I can say this, a really piss poor way to show thanks to people who have really served this country with pride and honor and dignity. And today on The View, which I always try to peek in a little bit just to see what hot topics they're talking about, they talked about that Joy Behar was getting ready to get on a rant about this war, and actually Whoopi Goldberg and Elizabeth, dingy Elizabeth Hasselbeck, shut her down and was saying how, you know, let's make today really a day, a celebratory day for our veterans, as opposed to ranting and raving about how upset we are about this war in Iraq. So I just want to read to you a little something that I found online just about the significance of Veterans Day and, you know, just a little bit about what Veterans Day is about, because I don't even really know. You know, I'm still learning. So this is coming actually from the VA, va.gov. So for those of you that are going to listen in the archive, you can just go to www.1.va.gov, and it gives you a little bit of a history. So I'm just going to read it really quickly. It's not a book. It's just, you know, some information. More information for our brain, just so we can all become a little bit more cognizant and a little bit more aware of what's going on around us, what's going on in our society. And hopefully, when you tune in every single day, you're learning something new that you didn't know before. And if, in fact, that's the case, that makes me feel incredibly good, because I want to make sure, you know, everybody gets something. They get blessed when they listen to the show every day. So anyway, here we go to the Veterans Day home. Oh, click here to go to the Veterans Day homepage. I'm not even going to go into that, but we're just going to read it quickly about the history of Veterans Day. World War I, known at the time as the Great War, officially ended with the Treaty of Versailles. I remember reading about that in history class, the Treaty of Versailles, and it's V-E-R-S-A-I-L-L-E-S. The Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, in the Palace of Versailles outside the town of Versailles, France. However, the fighting ceased 7 months earlier with an armistice or temporary cessation of hostilities between the Allied nations and Germany. They went into effect the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. For that reason, November 11th is generally regarded as the end of the war to end all wars. On November 19th, President Wilson, which is Woodrow Wilson, for all you his history buffs, to make sure everybody's getting accurate information, proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day with the following words: "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of nations." The original concept of the celebration was for a day observed with parades and public meetings and a brief suspension of business beginning at 11 a.m. The United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War I when it passed a concurrent resolution on June 4, 1926, with these words. Now, I'm not going to read that whole resolution. I have just copied it and pasted it into the chat room. So that way, if anybody wants to, you know, pull up the chat room, they can, you know, log right in. I just pasted it in, so hopefully it'll pop up in a minute. I'm trying to see if it came up. Let me try it one more time. But in case you didn't get it, I'll read it to you. It's www.va.gov/OPA/VetDay/VetDayHistory.asp. So I just think it's good information for us to, you know, just to have good information for us to know, because I think it's important that we know why we do what we do every day, just to, you know why we do what we do every day. Want to get into a little bit more recent politics. DeJuan, you know, who comes on and does our weekly Bible studies every Thursday, he's on Twitter also, and he sent out a tweet today at 9:55 in the morning, and this is what it says. Obama is not going to be a black ATM, and he put black ATM in quotation marks, where black folks can just come withdraw solutions to 400 years of past oppression. That's not reality. So just in preparing for the show, and today being a day all about politics, I really started to think and wonder, what is the real significance and the real meaning of a Barack Obama candidacy, of his candidacy and his presidency? Because what's happening is a lot of people, especially black people, are thinking or have thought or cast their vote because they feel he is really going to be the one to save us. And I think rightfully so, we want to put our hope in something. And you all know we've talked about this at great length, so I'm not going to beat this topic over the head. But I just mean, think about what our expectations are. And one of the things that I have noticed with Barack Obama doing as of late is he is adjusting our expectations. Because what's going to happen is everybody is going to feel that, okay, we have a new black president. I need a job. I need this. I need that. And why is it not happening? Whereas we're not even understanding, there's so many layers upon layers upon layers of things that have been done to us, not even us specifically, just Americans in general, things that have been done to pull the wool over our eyes that we really have very little control over. So I think it would be, we would be remiss in thinking that Barack Obama is just going to come in, swoop down from the sky, wave a magic wand, and really change everything that's been going on. And I think it was really profound when DeJuan put, he's not going to be a black ATM where we can just withdraw solutions to 400 years of past oppression. It, you know, I'm thinking and I'm hoping it doesn't take us, and I'm hopeful, 400 years to get out of this mess. But a lot of nations are going to have to pass before we really start to see and receive any different treatment from other races. I know for a fact other races come here and put their nose down at American blacks as if they are told before they even get here, these are the people to stay away from, they're in the ghettos, they're in the hood, or whatever their perception of us is. I think they already come here with a preconceived notion that we're nothing. And here's a quick example to prove my point. You all know that, you know, I used to live with my grandmother, and I still do a lot of things for her. Last Friday, I went to the grocery store for her, and I have a handicap parking plate. So I parked close to the front, you know, right at the front of the grocery store, and I loaded up her groceries in my car, and I put the basket right next to me. It didn't roll or anything. I just put it next to my car. And they have this particular ShopRite. I don't know if you guys have ShopRites where you are, but this particular ShopRite has people that come around and collect the basket. So I just left the basket there, you know, get ready to get in my car. I was on my phone. And the guy next to me in a Mustang says, it's a newer one. It was a late model Mustang, and he was of Hispanic background descent, said, don't leave that basket there. And I said, well, like, why? Do you need it or something like that? He said, I don't want it to hit my car. And I said, oh no, sir, I'm not going to let it hit your car. I was just leaving it here. They're going to come get it. He got out of his car and told me, get off the damn phone and move my basket. Now, y'all know, you hear me every day, and you know, I'm pretty reserved, a little frantic at times, but for the most part, I don't get ruffled that easily. First of all, he cursed at me. Second of all, it was something so immaterial in amount. It was a shopping basket. And third of all, when he got out the car, he didn't even come to my chin. So this is showing me that this dude has a lot of heart, that he thinks he can jump out his car, tell me where I can put my basket, and start cursing and yelling in my face. So y'all know what I did. Being that thugged out sister I am, I turned around and got right back in his face and did the same thing. Now, that's not the absolute Christian way to handle the situation, but, you know, like all jokes aside, I said to him, I'm like, yo, you need to relax. Nobody's yelling at you. You know, they're going to come collect the basket. And he was relentless. I don't want it to hit my car. So what did I do? I took the basket and I put it right next to his car. I know that's being spiteful, but oh well. It's a Friday night. I'm food shopping. I just want to get the food to my grandmother so I can get back to my house. I put it right next to my car, his car. So what did he do? Took the basket and put it right next to my car. So I took the basket and put it right next to his car. And we played, you know, I told him, now I'm loud. I'm like, you know what, we could play this little okie-dokie game all night because I have nowhere to go. I didn't have ice cream and didn't have milk, so I didn't care if we played push the basket for the next hour. Well, now all of a sudden someone calls the police, and the store manager comes out and wants to know what's wrong. And I said this guy just started screaming and yelling and cursing at me because he thought I put the basket too close to his car. And the little man started yelling at the store manager and started yelling at the police. So it was clear to see I didn't instigate this. And I told the police officer and I told the store manager when they kind of came over to where I was standing, I said, specifically, I will not be disrespected. And I said, how dare this man feel he can get out of his car, point his finger, curse at me, and disrespect me. And he said, don't talk to her. I'm leaving because my wife is coming. And this is what I told him. I said, your wife is a woman just like I'm a woman, and you're not going to treat me any less than you would treat her. And I think it just speaks to the level of or lack of respect that other races do have for American blacks just by virtue of what they are told, what they may think, what they may see on television, statistics. I'm not quite sure. And maybe I'm kind of blowing this out of proportion. I'm really, you know, I don't think I'm blowing it out of proportion, but I really, really feel in my heart there's no way, had it been somebody of Hispanic descent or maybe even a guy, because I know a lot of people in the Hispanic faith, you know, they talk a certain way to their women. Don't swing that my way, because we can go at it, you know, blow for blow, and I won't think twice about it. But I just felt so disrespected. So I say all that to say it's really my hope and my desire that the candidacy and impending presidency of Barack Obama does start to change the way people see us, the way we're viewed, the way we're treated, the way we're spoken to, the way people conduct business with us, because it's very, very unfortunate that this man has such a big task, and part of that is mending race relations. I just received another email right before I came on the air that some racial groups are upset because he's not choosing an all-black cabinet. I don't know about you, but that is probably one of the most absurd things I have ever heard. I feel like telling him, are you serious? An all-black cabinet? First of all, I don't want to say we don't have enough black people, but people of color of prominence, they're just not there. And even so, we have to remember Barack Obama is not a president for just black people. He ran, and I was a big, you know, I had my strong opinions that he wasn't addressing the needs of black people, and I was very angry about that. But Barack Obama is a president for all people, and if, in fact, he's a president for all people, then he needs to have some Hispanic Americans, some Asian Americans, Native Americans, black Americans. I mean, I think he has to pick a cabinet that's indicative and representative of our entire country, not just, okay, I'm going to get all black people. So for black groups to get up and start championing and saying, oh, he needs to pick an all-black cabinet, that is totally, totally bizarre. I mean, that's beyond comprehension, because how can you even imagine him getting an all-black cabinet? Automatically, that alienates all of the other races. And yes, you know, I see in the chat room, yes, white people have done it for years. But I do believe that President-elect Barack Obama, just his presence, is going to put an end to the systematic racism and systematic stereotypes that are already in place about how people view people of color, particularly black men. So I think his presence is so strong, he doesn't need to go around appointing the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons and all these other black people to positions of leadership, because they're already going to be working behind the scenes. And that's another thing. When did it not become fashionable or trendy to be just an Indian? Everybody doesn't have to be a chief. It's okay to be an Indian. Some people's purpose in life is to be an Indian. You know, everybody, you can't have everybody who wants to be the boss. You have to have people that lead, people that follow, people that direct. Everybody has to find their lane. And I think once you find your lane, it makes it a little bit easier for you to live your life and walk in your purpose and allow everybody to be in their lane and in their purpose. And we all know that all things work together for the good. So, I mean, just to say that he needs to have an all-black cabinet, I don't even know where people get this stuff from, perhaps out of left field, you know. I don't know. But it's just bizarre and absurd. And I think that's the stuff that people are actually afraid of. Are we going to become, you know, black power and militant? I don't even think that's necessary. I think Barack Obama has such a calming presence and just such a calming spirit, and the simple fact that he's just mellow and fly. You know, he still has his swagger, and I've written about that in my last book, Politics Remix, and I've written about it on my blog, Politics Remix, because he just has that gentle swagger that lets you know that he's in control without ruling with an iron fist. And perhaps that's why he got someone like Rahm Emanuel to be his chief of staff. If anybody really wants to look up who Rahm Emanuel is, I encourage you to do so, because he embodies the enforcer. You know, you see these movies or, you know, they have this particular person that plays this role. And I think he definitely fits the role of an enforcer. I know on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough is always saying how he gets up in the morning to go fishing so he can send dead fish to people, like, you know, because he's a Chicago politician. But, yeah, Rahm Emanuel is definitely going to be Barack Obama's enforcer. And it allows him to gently play that good cop, bad cop, you know, good cop, bad cop. Well, Barack Obama is a nice guy, but Rahm Emanuel is a jerk. But Barack Obama is really empowering Rahm Emanuel to make those decisions. So Rahm Emanuel is not going to do anything that Barack Obama does not allow. So for all of you who think that, you know, he's giving Rahm Emanuel too much power, I definitely, definitely, definitely beg to differ, because I think when you really look at who Rahm Emanuel is and what he brings to the table, he played a very integral role in the Clinton administration. And I think when you really start to look at that, you'll really see that he's putting the right people in place. A lot of people felt that way when he chose Joe Biden as a running mate, and I think Joe Biden was a great pick. A lot of people, again, would say Joe Biden probably isn't the best pick, but I think Joe Biden is an absolutely phenomenal pick because he's got foreign relations experience. He's got, I believe he's a good leader. He's a little loose with his lips at times, and we saw that a little bit on the campaign trail. But I think Joe Biden was a wise, prudent, and necessary choice, just because he was able to fill the void and plug in a couple gaps where Barack Obama was perceived as being deficient. So there are some areas where Barack Obama definitely was not as strong. So I think politically, I think it was a politically astute thing for Barack Obama to do, to reach out to Joe Biden and see if he would want to be the number two in command. And I think Joe Biden was a great choice. I mean, I wasn't really blown away by any of the other candidates. And, you know, some people said Hillary. I never saw that happening. I never, not on my vision board, not in my third eye, not in my intuition, not in my gut, could I ever, ever, ever fathom Hillary Clinton being vice president. And a lot of people can think, oh, he can't win without Hillary. Are you nuts? To them, I say, are you really nuts? How could you imagine choosing Hillary Clinton when you've got Bill Clinton meandering around the White House? I mean, this guy is so out of control. I mean, he was out of control on the campaign trail. So can you imagine Bill Clinton back in the White House? I think, and I hate to say it, but, you know, I'm honest and I'm true. I think the Clintons in the White House would have so undermined anything that Barack Obama was trying to do. I don't believe he would have gotten anything accomplished. I think he totally would have flaked. I think nothing would have gotten accomplished. I think they would have, dare I say, stabbed him in the back. Eesh, I hate to say it, but I really believe that would have been the case. I just don't think he would have gotten a very fair shot at being the president that the people actually wanted, because there always would have been an ulterior, you know, motive and a rogue agenda. You know, we're hearing that word rogue a lot right now. I think there would have been just another agenda set in place, kind of an underlying agenda by the Clintons, whatever it may have been. But I do think he would not have had a fair shot at being a president, at establishing himself as a global leader, because right now, let's face it, whoever the president of the United States is in fact a global leader, and other countries do look up to us. No matter how damaged our reputation is, other countries do look to the United States for answers and resources and solutions. And I just don't think he really would have been able to be an effective president if Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton were his number two and number three partners at running this country. Just talk a little bit about Sarah Palin. Let's get to this. I just talked about, you know, rogue agendas and rogue people around you. For those of you who may not be sure, hey, True, thank you very, very much for sending me that text message. Thank you so much. We have a caller on hold. Hi, Global Outlook. How are you? Thanks for joining our Politics Remix today. Are you listening in, or do you have a comment?
Yes, I'm listening in. Thank you. I'm fine. How are you?
Caller, are you there? Hi, caller from the 615 area code. Are you just listening in, or do you have a comment?
I'm just listening in.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold.
All right.
It's so good when you can hear that familiar voice. He just made me feel so much better. Let me just read some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room. Hi, Annie. I see Biomed Byline. Don't make her angry. I'm sure she flipped. I don't like when we feel, oh, okay, that was like the conversation a couple minutes ago. I don't feel we deserve respect. The chat is moving real slow. It was, and that's why for all of you listeners that may listen in the archive, you may hear like a little blip in time or a little, you know, like slight pause. Something was going on really weird with our chat room, so I had to check that out. True says really, really slow. Man, it's been crazy. He was listening and got kicked out, been trying to get back for 10 minutes, and now I got dropped. Yeah, I did. So, True, good looking out. That's why everybody has, like, my cell phone number and my email address and stuff. So that way, I don't know. I was out last night, and this guy was like, you know, you really should have business cards so people can get in touch with you. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding? You know how many people already have my cell phone number and my pager and all that stuff anyway? I don't need to put my phone numbers on any other piece of anything on the internet or out there, period. Let me just try to plug in our caller again. I see Global Outlook. Global Outlook, are you with us? Are you calling, or do you have a question? All right, well, I'm going to try to bring that caller back in a moment. Let me swing back into the chat room to see what's going on. I see we have a guest in the chat room. Thank you very much for listening today. I appreciate it. Everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and you are listening to Life Remixed Radio. Today is Tuesday, and always on Tuesday, we talk politics for the full hour. We're just going to get right into a quick commercial break, and I'll be right back on the other side.
Tired of living in debt? Discover how you can successfully defeat debt once and for all at oneononedebt.com. Imagine being completely debt-free in as little as 12 to 30 months. Debt negotiation experts at oneonedebt.com are standing by to help you get back on your feet financially. Log on to the number 1-O-N-1-debt.com today and see how easy it is to reduce your unsecured debt by up to 65%, lower your monthly payments, eliminate late fees, and save thousands off your outstanding debt balances. So, give yourself relief from those nagging collectors and the fear of bankruptcy. Defeat debt once and for all at oneonedebt.com. Visit oneonedebt.com today or call 1-888-2-DEBT-63 for your free consultation. That's 1-888-2-DEBT-63. In as little as 12 to 30 months from right now, you could be completely debt-free. Go to oneonedebt.com and reduce your debt once and for all. Again, log on to 1-O-N-1-DEBT.com.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. I just put that information in the chat room. For any of you that are looking to get out of debt, just log on to www.1ondebt.com or to speak to a live representative Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Just log up, just give a call to 888-2-DEBT-63. It's your girl, Cy Brown, and we're talking politics all day. Right before the break, we were talking about being rogue and Sarah Palin and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton in the White House. So that's just kind of where we left the conversation off. I want to switch gears now just, you know, to talk about Sarah Palin a little bit. I wrote a whole chapter about her in my last book, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about her only because she's making news right now. This morning, the Today Show, well, yesterday, actually, Matt Lauer from the Today Show flew up to Alaska, and he interviewed Sarah Palin, and she was very candid. She was very open. You know, she was not as guarded as she was when she was running with John McCain as a vice presidential candidate. And she was really, I actually kind of feel bad for Sarah Palin, and I remember I was talking in one of my chat rooms early this morning, and, oh, I don't feel sorry for her and this and that. And I'm like, well, how can you not? I mean, I know she chose that position, but I really just don't think she was prepared. And we also don't know how it was sold to her. You know, it could have been sold, oh, this is a slam dunk. It's going to be really easy. Nobody's going to vote for the black guy. We have it. You know, we don't know how it was sold to her. So based on that, everyone's saying, oh, she came in and she was unprepared and she doesn't know if Africa is a continent or a country. She doesn't know what the vice president does. Well, you know something, as the governor of Alaska, maybe that stuff is not relative or important to her day. You know, you always have to look at both sides of the coin. I can sit right now and, you know, probably type up a letter to, you know, a business letter in 5 minutes. And my friend next to me, who's a doctor, probably couldn't type up a business letter as well as I could in an hour or 2 hours because that's not their skill. So I think we have to be really careful before everyone's so quick to judge Sarah Palin, and especially Bill Maher. And I love Bill Maher, but he's saying, oh, how could she? You know, before she steps on a national stage, you know, she's a cheerleader and she's dumb. Well, you know what? As the governor of Alaska, maybe she didn't need to know all of the things that may have been necessary for her to run a successful vice presidential campaign. So let's be really, really careful about judging her. And, you know, another thing, too, I heard her say something that was very, very smart. They asked about her makeup and those clothes. This, after today, I'm not going to talk about this anymore because this is really making me nauseous. But she said, I don't hear anyone asking Barack Obama who did his makeup or who does his clothes. And if you look at Barack Obama's suits, you can clearly see that Barack Obama's suits are very, very, very well made. you can also see that he has on makeup. They all have on makeup. Men wear makeup all the time. If you ever catch some of the morning shows right when they're getting ready to go on air, you'll see a makeup person powdering their nose or just putting a little foundation on. They all wear makeup. So I think it was, I think we really did not give Sarah Palin a fair shot just as it relates to keeping her on equal footing. And I think because she was so challenged in being aware of what her role would be, we were now forced to talk about stupid stuff like her clothes, her makeup, and her kids because it was a challenge to have an intellectual conversation with her because she just was not aware. So, I mean, I don't know. I watched the interview with Matt Lauer this morning, and I felt sorry for her more so than anything else because I thought, and you know, when I have these little gentle passing thoughts, they're usually right. I think she was sold the wrong way. I think they sold her something, and she was really not aware of what she was getting into. Because anybody with full knowledge would have reservations. And this is what also makes me believe that. She keeps saying anonymous sources. Well, who are these anonymous sources so I can defend myself? And Chris Matthews said yesterday on Hardball, he said, well, where she's from in Alaska, there may only be a couple of papers, newspapers, or media outlets. So there's no such thing as an anonymous source. But when you're in Washington and you get into politics with the heavyweights and the big boys, well, yeah, a lot of people are going to say, listen, I'll tell you this, I'll let you in on some good stuff, but I don't want to be named. So he made a very valid point when he said a lot of the things that go on in politics and inside the Beltway, in Washington politics, the information is offered by anonymous sources. And that's why when Valerie Plame refused to out who her source was, they jailed her because they really want to know. And newspaper reporters and reporters in general are protected. They have to protect their sources or else the sources would never share information and they wouldn't get good stories. So I just think to her discontent with anonymous sources commenting on her situation proves she really, 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 really was not prepared for what was coming her way. She just, I just can't believe as a woman and how women are really good multitaskers, how she just was not prepared. And I think they just sold her the wrong thing. And unfortunately, maybe her ego or maybe her desire for a higher public office or more prestige, that superseded her pragmatism, and she became very impractical, thinking she could do more than she possibly could do, and she got screwed royally in the end. So, you know, that's enough about that. I just want to say thank you to every single person who listened in today. You know, I love all of my listeners. And excuse our little hiccup. for everybody that was trying to log on to the chat room. I thought I had the chat room open and functioning, but I think it might have been a server issue. Maybe that means a lot. Too many people are trying to log on at the same time. That's the only thing I could think of because I never have server problems. So if, in fact, that is the case, that's a nice problem to have, that we had too many people trying to listen to the show at one time. We like those problems. Those are problems that we have to fix, and we can get them fixed. But anyway, tomorrow we have a great guest. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and you know on Wednesdays we always talk about small businesses and entrepreneurs and starting your own business and getting your business started and, you know, how to successfully run your business. So that's what's on tap for tomorrow's show. And I just want to say thank you for listening. Oh, don't forget to follow my blog, www.cybrown.com, and join my social network, liferemixed.net. So when you get a chance, log on to www.liferemixed.net. Thank you all for listening, and always remember that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. And I'll see everybody tomorrow right back here at 12 noon on Life Remix Radio. Peace.